NBC Monitor News on the hour. Here's Jeffrey Pond.
The young Red Guards on the side of Party Chairman Mao Zedong have revealed that heavy fighting broke out this week between themselves and workers in Nanking and near Shanghai. The Red Guards put up posters in Peking reporting that 54 people were killed, 900 injured, and 6,000 arrested. According to Japanese newsmen who read the posters, the Red Guards said 500,000 workers tried to crush Nanking's guard organization. Czechoslovakian news dispatches from Peking said both sides took a total of 60,000 prisoners and that some were hideously tortured. There's no indication whether the fighting has ended. The status of Chinese Premier Zhou Enlai is not clear. A poster denouncing him appeared briefly in Peking's main square, but someone tore it down and put up another urging the Chinese to bash in the head of anyone who criticizes Premier Zhou. More news after this from New Winds Charge.
Presenting the Wynn Oil Company Chorale under the direction of John Philip Azusa. With special program notes by Mr. Keenan Wynn.
Thank you. This is Keenan Wynn. I'd like to point out, first of all, that though my name is also spelled W-Y-N-N, I'm not related to the Wynn Oil Company people of Azusa. I do know about Wynn's products, however. I've used them in automobile, motorcycle, and hydroplane competition, as well as in my airplane and in my family cars. They're good. Wynn's famous friction proofing.
Proofing!
Wynn's engine tune-up. Wynn's new charge.
Charge!
And many more.
More!
All designed to keep your car going strong by the Wynn Oil Company of Azusa.
Azusa, Azusa, California. Won't keep your car going strong, capital as a wall.
Once again, Jeffrey Pond.
Large numbers of senators and congressmen arrived today in Washington ready for their opening session on Tuesday. The White House announced that President Johnson will address them Tuesday night with his State of the Union message. The House will immediately be involved in the controversy over whether to discipline Harlem Democrat Adam Clayton Powell. NBC News correspondent Paul Duke talked to Republican Congressman Melvin Laird of Wisconsin about the Powell case.
A Republican leader predicted today that Adam Clayton Powell will be seated when Congress convenes next week because of Speaker John McCormick's opposition to any strong disciplinary action against the Harlem Democrat. Representative Melvin Laird of Wisconsin said he felt McCormick's stand had dampened Democratic opposition to Powell.
He will be seated under the terms of the Speaker's recommendation, and it would seem to me that as of now, the Speaker, with his 3-2 majority in the Congress, undoubtedly would be successful.
Laird and other Republican leaders believe Powell should not be seated. Instead, should be kept on the sidelines while a special congressional committee investigates his conduct and makes recommendations. Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
In Las Vegas, a dynamite explosion has torn open the Orbit Inn Motel and killed 6 people. At least 8 others were injured. The Las Vegas police believe the blast was detonated by someone committing suicide in a room occupied by a man who had registered as R.J. Paris of Hollywood. A pistol was found, and it's believed the gun was used to set off the dynamite. Pistol ammunition was discovered in a nearby car, also registered in the name of R.J. Paris. It had Florida license plates. There were 2 sharp wires coming out of the car's battery, leading the police to speculate that the person had first intended to set off the explosion in the car. Also in Nevada, an Air Force search helicopter has located the wreckage of a missing supersonic reconnaissance plane, an SR-71, said to be the world's fastest operational aircraft. The plane crashed about 4 miles from the town of Leith, Nevada. A search is underway for the civilian test pilot. The helicopter crew found no trace of him in the SR-71's wreckage. South Vietnamese Premier Ky today said he would be willing to meet North Vietnamese President Ho Chi Minh to talk about ending the war. He said he's ready to go anywhere, anytime, for peace talks, but only if the communists make some concrete proposals. He didn't say what kind. The premier ruled out any 7-day truce for the Lunar New Year in February as proposed by the Viet Cong, and he said it's possible there won't even be the 4-day truce that he himself had offered. Ky also said that North Vietnam may be easing its position on peace talks because it knows it can't win the war and is getting desperate. If so, Hanoi isn't showing it publicly. Moscow Radio quotes North Vietnam's news agency as saying Hanoi has not changed its conditions for peace talks and that it made the announcement to dispel rumors in the Western press. U.S. Marines conducting the first American sweep into South Vietnam's Mekong Delta have run into nothing more than sniper fire so far. There's speculation that the communist guerrillas were tipped off to the landing of 5,000 American and South Vietnamese Marines 60 miles below Saigon. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News.
WNBC FM, New York. 52 weeks of fun, learning, and adventure for the Girl Scouts of Greater New York are made possible by your support. Volunteers are out ringing doorbells. Girl Scouts from 7 to 17 are learning to be good neighbors and to improve their neighborhoods. You can help these youngsters make New York a better city in which to live. Please give generously when a Girl Scout volunteer rings your bell. Give all you can for the Girl Scouts of Greater New York. This is Bill Mazur. I'll talk sports with you daily on WNBC Radio. The number, Plaza 7-8866. Call me, won't you?
You're with the new sound for the new year, Monitor 67, your best weekend companion. I'm Ed McMahon. The newest and best in popular music. And just 2 minutes away, a royal beefeater tells us his duties in the Tower of London. First, Peggy Lee, inquiring reporter.
So tell me, babe, what's new? And how's the scene with you? Gee, it's good to see you, babe. Yeah, I missed you so. And you've been gone just too long now. So tell me, babe, what's new? You're glad to see me too. Hey, my world is spinning. Now I know I'm winning. You stay home now. Don't ever roam now. And I'll say, baby, so good to see you.
Is not required to eat beef. In fact, he may very well be a strict vegetarian. At any rate, these specially chosen guards in their scarlet uniforms on duty in the Tower of London remain one of the most popular tourist attractions in England, as well as a symbol of ancient British tradition and dignity. One of them, Gilbert Futter, recently toured the States and took a moment to describe the life and the duties of a royal beef eater in a chat with Monitor reporter Dale Van Ammon.
Mr. Futter, in your terminology in England, what is a beef eater?
A beef eater is a yeoman warder of Her Majesty's Tower of London. And we are, first of all, police of the Tower of London and also Queen's bodyguard. So therefore, at different times, then we go out with the Queen on special occasions.
I understand you guard the crown jewels.
That is correct.
Do they ever go out of the tower?
Oh, yes. Whenever the Queen requires any special crown or anything, then it is taken away from the tower to where she requires it.
You do live in the Tower of London?
Yes, we live in the Beauchamp Tower, which is one of the center towers, an old state prison in the early days, and we live above the state prison.
How many beefeaters are there, and how does one become one? There are 38,
yes.
And how do you become a beefeater?
Well, it's quite easy. All you've got to do is to join the British Army, Royal Air Force, or the Royal Marines, and do 22-year service. Become a warrant officer. And also have a medal which is known as the Long Service and Good Conduct. Actually, of course, we call it the Undetected Crime Medal, 18 years. Now, after you've got all those, then you apply for the job after you've got 22 years in. And if they like you, they put you on what we call the short list. If they don't like you, they put you on the long list. Then when one of us dies, there's 38 of us, the top of the short list moves in.
With me, Gilbert Futter, a royal beefeater in the Tower of London. Mr. Futter, you married 2 years ago, and the royal family attended the wedding. Why?
Well, because it was the first yeoman to be married in the Tower for many, many years, going back for hundreds of years, you see, as in state dress. So we were very lucky. And so therefore we had the full escort and everything.
Now then, what are your impressions of the United States? You are the first beefeater to come to the United States on this goodwill tour.
Well, first of all, I will say that the first thing that strikes you is that the vastness of the United States. You see, we've come from New York to Washington, Washington to San Francisco, now down to Fresno. And tremendous big place. And also the other thing, of course, strikes us is all the gadgets you've got, which, of course, we haven't got in England. I am afraid now I'm going to get into terrible trouble when my wife goes home because her kitchen is not half so good as the kitchens out here.
What are some of the gadgets you can cite?
Well, electric knives for cutting up your meat. You've got two ovens, which is a thing that we don't have in England. Oh, garbage disposers. We don't use those sort of things.
Do you have electric refrigerators, or do you still depend upon ice? You do have electric refrigerators?
Oh, yes. We're not quite so bad, you know, but not cut up to your standards.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert Futter, Royal Beefeater. This is Dale Van Ammon in Fresno, California, reporting for Monitor.
You know, it seems a bit ominous to me, considering the Tower of London's history, that our beefeater friend was so impressed with the electric knives. And the Arbors are certainly no help with their latest song, Just Let It Happen.
Ashamed to love it, darling, when I kiss you. Don't be afraid.
Let it happen. Let it happen.
question. Who listens to Monitor? Where do they hear us? Answer, right here. And weekends, everyone everywhere stays right here on the Monitor Beacon. It's 18 minutes after the hour. You're back with Monitor 67 and Ed McMahon. Although the chill of winter is across most of the country, here's a song that'll help you remember last summer and a look forward to next summer. Andy Williams describes the setting.
Sand and sea, sea and sand, and the warm, bright sun up above. Summer days, happy days with my love. Sand and sea, sea and sand, hear the wings in flight of a dove. Summer nights, happy nights, making love.
From such a restful, poetic mood by the seashore, we move inland where possible storm clouds are gathering. The person responsible for the abrupt change is Al Capp, Monitor's expert on nothing, with opinions on everything. Let's hear what he has to say about the great electronic plot.
Now, I have a friend who's a worrier. He isn't a worrier about things that might happen. He worries about things that might not. The other day, he told me there was something he was worried sick about that was awfully unlikely to ever happen, but if it ever did, it would be so awful, he just couldn't sleep nights worrying about it. He asked me how many pieces of Japanese electronic equipment that I think my family owned, and I said I'd never counted. He said, well, he had. He said that his family, an average one, owned one small Japanese-made TV set, one radio, one sewing machine, four Japanese-made assorted little kitchen gadgets, three accessories on their car. His son had one little accessory, Japanese-made, on his bicycle. And all three of his kids had Japanese-made transistors. And everyone in the family, it turned out, had several pieces of Japanese-made sportswear. He said that probably if we all looked at the small print on our labels, a lot of other American families would discover they owned just that many. I said that was nothing to worry about. The Japanese were marvelously industrious and clever people. And Americans were pretty clever, too. Much of the profits
parts of the Japanese-made gadgets sold in America came back to us because we'd been clever enough to invest in Japanese industry. Well, the worrier said that's exactly what he was worried about. Wouldn't it be possible, he said, for them to sneak a tiny, unnoticeable explosive into every gadget they send here, every TV set, every sewing machine and transistor, even weave them into our shirts and neckties? I said it might be possible, but improbable, if only because of the expense. Why should they worry about the expense, said my friend. I took my worried friend by the worried arm to the nearest drugstore, Hashimoto's, it's right on the corner, and I bought him some tranquilizers. They were made in Japan, and they did cost a bit more, but it was worth the price. And this is Al Capp reestablishing international goodwill on NBC's Monitor.
Yes. Our talking cartoonist, Al Capp, airs his personal views on the passing scene as a regular feature every weekend on Monitor. More problems directly ahead. Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet are having marital troubles. Well, not really. You understand, it's just one of our latest songs. The honeymoon is over.
When your husband doesn't touch your best dessert, when you find the purple lipstick on his shirt, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you better be on the alert.
When your wife decides that she should wear the pants, when she puts you down each time she gets the chance, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you'd better search for some romance.
Time you saw your old trusty lawyer asking whether you find another nest of feathers.
When your husband suddenly becomes a swell,
when your wife is bored by every joke you tell, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over.
When your wife is bored by jokes, you tell them, dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over.
Nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I like the taste. Simple as that.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I think everybody who smokes should try Lark.
There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
Great smoke. Glad I changed.
Hey, there's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
Roger Williams Piano and Orchestra, and Cherish. Wherever you go weekends, you'll find Monitor, a familiar voice on NBC stations across the nation. In Philadelphia, hear us on WPEN Radio 95, Philadelphia's NBC station with Personality Plus. Hello, my old hometown, Philadelphia. And let's hear it for all our stations along the line who'll identify themselves in the next few seconds. This is Ed McMahon.
Monitor, your companion for a pleasant weekend on the NBC Radio Network.
Monitor Radio.
This is Monitor 67, an exciting new sound for an exciting new year. I'm Ed McMahon. 3 minutes away, an American who recently returned from Havana tells us what life is like today in Castro Land. First, Nancy Sinatra and a swing through quite a different sugar town.
I got some troubles, but they won't last. I'm gonna lay right down here in the grass, and pretty soon all my troubles will pass, 'cause I'm in sugar town. I never had a dog that liked me some, never had a friend or wanted one, so I just lay back and laugh at the sun, 'cause I'm in sugar town. Sugar town. If I had $1 million or 10, I'd give it to your world and then you'd go away and let me spend my life in sugar town.
Nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark to date. There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark to date.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
How does life in present-day Cuba compare with life there in the years before Castro? One American who can answer that question is William Addison of San Francisco, a member of the U.S. chess team which recently returned for the 17th International Chess Olympics held in Havana. His interesting impressions afford an up-to-the-minute glimpse of conditions in Castro land. He talks with Monitor reporter Dean Mell.
As the first American group with State Department authorization to visit Cuba since the Castro regime, what was your overall impression of the reception the Cubans gave you?
The reception was excellent. The government did everything it could to provide a lavish, hospitable reception for us. The citizens of Havana were overwhelmingly friendly to Americans. In fact, the impression that was most startling about Havana was the not just the lack of hostility, but the genuine love for Americans that the people of Havana have.
Any specific examples of that?
Yes, people went out of their way to be friendly. For example, the waiter in the hotel might be expected to be formally friendly at the in carrying out his duties in the hotel. However, once I went to a nightclub and this waiter brought me over to his table and introduced me to his girlfriend and bought me a drink and showed that he was genuinely friendly.
Did you see or hear any examples of overt anti-Castroism?
Yes, people came up to me and told me about how disgusted they were with things in Cuba. And these people were professional people and technicians. And one man who came up to see me was about to leave. He was giving up everything to leave Cuba.
What was your impression of the city of Havana itself? Do you get the impression that Havana is prospering under Castroism?
Havana is certainly not prospering. Havana has all the signs of a previous prosperity. The signs are in the empty shelves in the stores and in the empty streets. In fact, I was taken to the very best market in Havana, and the depletion was extraordinary. The lack of items that were present in the ordinary Mexican village, for example, was very depressing to me because Havana, after all, is a great city.
Did you have any impression, did you gain any impression that you were in a totalitarian state?
The impression I gained of totalitarianism was mostly in the Cuban press, which was vicious and anti-American and told all sorts of dull, uninteresting lies. There was a surprising freedom of speech, but perhaps this is more due to the courage of the inhabitants rather than the nature of communist government.
You also spoke of an interesting experience you had at the Havana Vieja. Would you relate that incident?
Yes, I think it's a good example of the strong impression I have that the Cubans are very, very American in their outlook. I went to a neighborhood fiesta. I was driving around one night and just happened upon a neighborhood fiesta. At this fiesta, the place was decked out in Cuban flags and other communist flags, and there was a militia orchestra playing dance music. But the dance music they were playing and the music that the kids were dancing to was American music, rock and roll.
Does the state carry out an anti-church campaign, a heavy anti-church campaign?
Well, like much else in Cuba, it's very subdued. They permit the churches to be open once a week on Sunday, I was told.
Bill Addison, you did have some sort of distinction. I think you were one member of the American chess team that was declared persona non grata in Cuba.
That's correct. I got into an argument the last couple of days with a Cuban commissar. The argument was over the subject of money, about which the Cubans are very sensitive.
And what was the outcome?
The outcome was that I got my money, but was declared persona non grata.
And did they evict you from the country?
No, I wasn't evicted because I was going to leave anyhow, but they made it quite clear that I wasn't welcome back. That's all right by me.
Did their attitude toward you change after that declaration?
No, this is just the attitude on the part of a couple of top officials in the Sports Federation, but nothing can change the attitude of the people.
Thank you very much, Bill Addison, manager of the Mechanics Institute Chess Room in San Francisco, the oldest chess club in the United States, for this description of life in Cuba under Fidel Castro. This is Dean Mell in San Francisco reporting for Monitor.
A rather stark and sad picture of life in today's Cuba. While the following song at least reflects hope for the future, we hope. Gunther's Kalman's chorus in Wish Me a Rainbow.
Wish me a rainbow.
All the night tomorrows depend.
Arjola talks football right after Jack Jones sings one of his latest songs, One Minute Away, on the Monitor Beacon.
Big Town, USA. People are winners when they listen to the big voice of Sterling Yates on Fortune Phone, weekdays at 10 and at 4 in the afternoon. WNBC, New York. Are you retired and wondering how to spend all the leisure time you now have? Or perhaps you're home alone all day while husband and children are away, and you're just plain bored? Why not get in touch with your Red Cross? Right now, the Red Cross needs volunteers for a variety of worthwhile jobs. You'll meet interesting people and at the same time have the joy and satisfaction of helping others. As a volunteer, you choose the time you want to work and the job you want to do. All kinds of talents and skills and many, many willing hands are needed in hospitals, on blood mobiles, in the motor service, canteen, disaster. Why not call your local Red Cross chapter and find out about it? In New York, the Red Cross number is SU7-1000. SU7-1000.
At 13 minutes before the hour, Monitor 67 continues. Ed McMahon, your host. A news item this week states flatly that the biggest television news program in Poland is titled, you guessed it, Monitor. Well, we have some great football players of Polish ancestry. Polish sausage is delicious. And Polish dancing is pleasant to watch. I guess the cultural exchange is about even. Here's native-born Jack Jones.
Lady, you're in love today, but what about your broken heart tomorrow? Why waste all your loveliness on someone if he really doesn't care? Let me take you in my arms and let me love you tenderly. And you see all the joys of life you never found before you'll find with me. Lady, take my love today and let me give you a happiness forever. Every day you wait, a little love we could be sharing slips away. Why find out too late that what you thought was love was just a brief fantasy? I'm in love with you, so lovely lady, won't you fall in love with me?
Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola.
I guess everyone in the world has a list of people he can do without. I have, and I'm sure you do too. One of my pet peeves is the guy who walks over to you right after you've sliced a golf ball into the woods and says, I noticed you weren't standing the right way when you addressed the ball. I always feel like I should smile softly and then say, thanks a lot, dummy. What are you telling me now for? Well, I guess I'm in almost the same spot as the guy who teased me off. Because here I am showing up with a suggestion on watching football games, and the football season is almost over. I say almost, but not quite. There are still a few big ones left, including the big Super Bowl game a week from tomorrow in Los Angeles between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers. And that one will be brought to you over NBC Radio and Television, by the way. What I wanted to talk to you about are a couple of proposals for rule changes in football. And not little changes either. Great big ones. And if baseball talk in the winter is called hot stove gossip, then I guess it's fair to call summertime football conversations air conditioner gossip. So here are a couple of ideas to kick around with your friends. The first one comes from a man who really knows football. His name is Cliff Montgomery, and he was the star of the Columbia team that went to the Rose Bowl over 30 years ago. And since then, he's earned quite a reputation as a football official. Here's what Mr. Montgomery has to say. It has always seemed unfair to me that the rules clamp down an escape hatch on teams that are losing. No matter how hard they try to catch up, they're put at a tremendous disadvantage every time they score, because then they have to yield possession of the ball by being forced to kick off. My thought is that a trailing team be privileged to receive the next kickoff. And then it'll have the opportunity to keep the rally going and thereby lend a lot more excitement and uncertainty to the outcome. A club that's behind by 2 touchdowns in the last quarter doesn't have much chance to get back in the game because it gives away the ball after it scores a touchdown. This way, it would have a chance to drive for the second one instead of waiting helplessly while the other team runs out the clock. That's what Cliff Montgomery suggests, and there ought to be a lot there for the air conditioner talk next summer. As a starter, think what it would mean to players who are used to being platooned. The second idea is one that I have seen several times in the papers recently. I don't honestly know where it originated, but Dick Young of the New York Daily News wrote the first piece I saw on it, so I'll give him credit. Basically, the idea is to do something about all the field goal kicking that goes on. The longer the field goals, the shorter the football field. A team gets the ball on their 20, moves it 40 yards, and then they run into trouble. 4th and 8 on the opponent's 40. Why not try a field goal? If it works, great. If it doesn't, the opponent gets the ball on his own 20, and they've made 20 yards anyway. The idea is that the rules be changed so that after a field goal attempt that fails, the other team gets the ball on the line of scrimmage. Think about that as you watch and listen to the football season end. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Some good ideas. And remember, the Kansas City Chiefs face the NFL champs, the Green Bay Packers, in the Super Bowl. You've got a reserved seat on the 50-yard line. On Sunday, January 15th, don't miss the game of the century, the Chiefs versus the Packers in the Super Bowl. See it all, hear it all on NBC Radio and color television. New mummy Barbara Streisand with her dramatic version, What Now, My Love?
Et maintenant, que vais-je faire de tout ce temps que sera ma vie, de tous ces gens qui m'indiffèrent maintenant que tu es parti.
Yeah.
What now, Mr. Weatherman? What little tricks do you have lurking in those high-pressure areas, cold fronts and rainy belts for the weekend? Let's have a look at the national weather map. Trouble in the Midwest with blizzard conditions and warnings through Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska. Snow, freezing rain, and sleet will extend eastward to New England. At noon today, 48 inches of snow covering parts of Upper Michigan. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and cold across most of the nation. Snow flurries from the Great Lakes to the Appalachians. Colder in the south and the east. Meanwhile, in Asuncion, today's midday temperature was 93. That's in Chile.
Are you one who likes to see and feel fine and useful products that show real creative engineering? Well, this is your invitation to examine the broadly patented ANCO anti-wind lift windshield wiper blade. See the exclusive airfoil that holds the wiper snug on the windshield, even at turnpike speeds. Note ANCO's superior quality and uniform precision, quite obvious when compared. And when you see ANCO blades in action on your own car, you really appreciate the great strides the Anderson Company of Gary, Indiana has made toward greater traffic security for you and yours. You can examine a pair of ANCO anti-wind lift wiper blades wherever you see the new big, bright yellow ANCO windshield wiper replacement service cabinet, which your own favorite service stations proudly display, or will soon be able to get from their ANCO wholesaler. Watch for it. Your ANCO dealer's trained serviceman can quick-fit your car with the correct pair of ANCO blades or refills in seconds. A good place to buy gas, too.
You know, the recurring theme of today's fast-moving world is stay informed. And you do that best when you hear NBC Monitor News on the Hour, which is coming up immediately. So stay on the line. This is Ed McMahon.
The Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs meet in the Super Bowl football game Sunday, January 15th. Complete coverage on NBC radio and television.
Big Town, USA. A sprawling complex of communities from Kingston to Cape May, from Wilkes-Barre to Barnstable. The most heavily populated area in the United States. Here, where the salt spray from the great Atlantic meets the fresh winds from the farmlands, people who trace their origins to every part of the world live and work together to make Big Town, USA, the most exciting city in America. Whether you live in the concrete canyons or mow your lawn in some sleepy community, you are, if you can hear this message, a part of Big Town, USA. And WNBC, the voice of Big Town, is your station. Keeping you in touch with your town, Big Town, USA. The big voice of Big Town, USA strikes a lovable note on the Lee Leonard Show, Monday through Saturday after the 1 p.m. news. WNBC, AM and FM New York.